This is Dialogue Conspiracy. Political research specialist Mae Brussel, whose conspiracy newsletter appears in the Realist magazine, has for 3 years shared with our listeners the fruits of her decades' research into political assassinations and the abuses of power in America. Her weekly commentary relates the news of the week to the evidence emerging about the conspiracy, which allegedly maintains its power by force over America's electoral and executive processes. And now, here's Mae.
Good afternoon, Dialogue Conspiracy, March 25th, 1974. The week regarding the Hearst kidnapping was very quiet. The FBI came out with a comment today apropos with regards to the Hearst food plan, and the media again was still calling it America's first political kidnapping. It's in its eighth week. The FBI reported there were no new developments. They again called it the first political kidnapping. The mysterious Symbionese Liberation Army has Patricia Hearst, and they're holding her as a prisoner of war. There's so much confusion about this group of people called 25 heavily armed members of a revolutionary team. There's general confusion everywhere. Most of my program today is going to be on the conspiracy in the California prisons, and you can extend it to the national problem, but particularly in California, and it directly links to the Patricia Hearst kidnapping, the use of two ex-prisoners that were, in quotes, escapees who were actually allowed to escape. We'll emphasize for the governor of California how much we need those two new prisons that'll cost $160 million, and the use of brain control behavior modification at Vacaville on Theo Wheeler and Donald DeFries, who are supposed to be with Patricia Hearst, will be extended to other experimentations in the new prison systems if we allow California to budget this program. The paper in Monterey this week, in our local paper and over the wire service, had an article on Friday about the new California prisons that were planned. And there was a meeting of the Finance Committee in Sacramento, March 25th today, Monday, regarding whether the state will consider financing plans for two new prisons in California. Ronald Reagan is asking $78 million for a prison near the Mexican border, another $78 million for a prison at Vacaville. The Oda Mesa site is 320 acres down on the Mexican border that had been designated to be close to or part of a regional airport. It's to be a medical facility for 2,400 emotionally disturbed prisons. That is a rough figure of what they have. And as usual, the selling point of Senator James Mills in San Diego is that it would create new jobs south of San Diego. There's always this financial status. It's good for the economy. Building prisons is the newest industry, like the funeral industry, the military industry, the prison industry with its glass partitions, its chains, its cages, its guards, control systems. That has become a big business. And if the money were allocated to the proper defense and the proper investigation of the prison system, about 80 to 90% of the men in prison don't have to be there at all. The San Francisco Chronicle today on the 25th had an editorial, "Shut down verdict for San Quentin." San Quentin is the famous prison in California where a lot of violence has been coming down recently, particularly recently. And the editorial said, welcome idea, two new prisons. And San Quentin is antiquated and obsolete. This is what the article said. And they referred to a Kilgore report of the penologists and criminologists who said that San Quentin, like Folsom, had no space to support corrective or rehabilitative programs. The Chronicle doesn't call attention to the fact that the Kilgore report about the California prisons was available to Governor Reagan before the killing of George Jackson inside the prison system, before all these deaths and violence took place. When a report offers positive work, like many national reports we have commissions on violence. When it offers constructive suggestions for changes, the report isn't used. But when they want to manipulate to get the expensive buildings and build new modern Dachau's or an Auschwitz, then the report is useful. And they quote the report that the prison is antiquated, but they didn't use the report before so many deaths took place. We don't need larger prisons, and I hope that people in California will write to Sacramento, to the Finance Committee, and if you live out of the state where these tapes go, you can write to your various officials in your state. But I'm talking about California now, because that is the area where I know many, many prisoners, and I followed this California conspiracy inside the prisons for a few years now. We don't need two large prisons for 160 million. What we need is a small kind of prison, maybe 10 or 12 up and down the state where families could visit regularly. We need preparation to get men back into the local communities. We don't need to send a man from San Francisco or Bay Area down to San Diego. We need people close to their local communities where their school friends can visit or chums. We need prisoners near lawyers where they can have contact with them and not separated by distances in this state. We should follow the concepts of Sweden and Denmark and deinstitutionalize the prison and have community participation. There are about 0.5% of the prisoners need to be in there at all. There's no excuse for the kind of violence that's taking place in the prison. 50% are provocateurs and 50% of the violence is caused by situations the way the prisons are run, with militaristic guards, people that don't care. The type of lockups that we're having now are going to bring more violence. And the reaction of the men to the doubling up inside of the prisons, and we'll go into some of the problems in the prisons, is a normal reaction to an impossible situation. They would be mentally disturbed if they didn't respond in a certain way. And because they respond, society is ready to cart them away. The request for these prisons now, at this time, has a historical context that I'm going to follow in a certain line, fitting in with my fears of genocide in the United States, and that I think these new prisons are one more step in that genocidal pattern. And I wrote this to every member of the Finance Committee. In the United States in the 1960s, 70s, there was anticipation as the war escalated that we would have more riots. And you could be sure of minorities protesting because the job opportunities would be reduced. And except for being a soldier in front lines of Vietnam, there was nothing at home to come home to. And people in the ghettos were heavily drugged, were pouring drugs into the ghettos. And therefore, there had to be robberies to sustain the habit and therefore prisons. So with the riot on the streets and the feeling of helplessness and the anti-war protesters with the bombings in Cambodia escalating, if we didn't have Watergate, we had a pre-Watergate mentality, and we have the current situation now, but the intention was to keep the war escalating, and as soon as these prisons are built, there's no guarantee, as Hitler went through Europe, that we won't keep escalating to get oil and minerals. We'll overthrow governments that would otherwise not be military dictatorships, and will sustain the dictatorships we've put into power. In 1954, there became evident a plan called the King Alfred Plan that I've mentioned on different shows. It's part of the National Security Council. It was written up in the book, The Man Who Cried I Am, by John Williams, but it is not a piece of fiction. People thought it was, but if you go to that book and look up the King Alfred Plan, it is exactly what is happening to the blacks in the United States today in terms of the orders come down in this plan to break the country into 12 major groups, divide the minorities into 10 regions, 12 major minority groups, kill the leaders of these groups, take away the minorities through a systematic program, which is listed in that book, and I could do a whole show on the King Alfred Plan. There became visible in 73, the Heliotrope Plan, which is a top military plan, a military takeover for 1976. And along with that is called Turn Soul. That probably means turn the soul part around. It's to round up all non-whites, eliminate them, Mexican, Indian, Black, Latins, Orientals, and mixed. And it was a plan by 76 to seize Congress, assassinate congressmen, a military takeover using the Pentagon, the CIA, the Green Berets, the Armed Forces, and the Coast Guard. Now, with the King Alfred plan and the Heliotrope and Turnsole plan in mind, I think of the memos that were exposed this last week, March the 8th, 1974, in the Washington Post and other newspapers that have a product of the Watergate mentality, a part of the Watergate scene, the FBI memos on how to expose, disrupt, neutralize the black, the white, and the new left. Now, these are not science fiction. If you think the King Alfred plan and Heliotrope are science fiction, these are actual FBI documents that give orders to fabricate documents, plant spies, discredit leaders of minorities or the new left in their own community. I'm reading from the orders. Discredit responsible people to the Negro community, discredit groups to the white community, especially liberals, and watch the white community, especially those liberals who have vestiges of sympathy. Now, those are the wordings of J. Edgar Hoover's memos to the FBI. Be careful of white liberals who have vestiges of sympathy. The purpose of these FBI memos is to head off the rise of a messiah, prevent the coalition of black groups, keep groups from attracting young members. Now, you see, the FBI is supposed to solve crimes and look into a national police force if you cross borders for kidnapping. But this memo is to take a positive attack group against people, in quotes, attracting young members. Keep minority groups from gaining respectability. This is an order from the FBI. And then it says arrest on every possible charge until they can no longer make bail. And as a result, they will spend their summers in jail. Now, those are FBI memos on how to handle the minorities. And it certainly looks, according to those other plans, that they're ready for action. Now, these memos were in order and positive action. Jesse Jackson came out just yesterday and said it's perfectly obvious that the way the order read to take care of these minority people and messiahs, that this was the order to kill Malcolm X, Medgar Evers, and Whitney Young or Martin Luther King and other black leaders. Now, that plan was in operation from 61 to 70. In 1970, we learned of the Houston plan. What was the Houston plan from the Watergate? It was to take the FBI away from J. Edgar Hoover and separate him from the body politic, from the Army intelligence. I understand, I heard a few minutes ago that John Ehrlichman is in Carmel today, just arrived a few minutes ago. I hope somebody turns on the FM of his radio as he drives to Pebble Beach, where there's a nest of espionage agents who are part of the Houston plan to overthrow the government. I hope he listens to this and shares this information with us as I talk, because he knows what I'm talking about. It was his department that maneuvered all these operations. The Houston plan was the moving of the FBI into the Pentagon. The Pentagon, the armed forces, all branches of the armed forces were to take over the FBI. As of 1970, the operations were going to effect, and J. Edgar Hoover was to be removed or killed by 1972. And he was killed by the Watergate team. If you check this out, all the documentations of J. Hoover's death and who broke into his home later, and I'm writing an article on that, eventually the Watergate responsible. Hoover's time was up in 72. The liaisons from the White House to the FBI taking the information to the desks of Mr. John Ehrlichman and linking it to the military, taking the FBI out of its private office into the CIA and military. William Sullivan of Division 5 and Robert Mardian were the responsible links. And the Houston papers said that the head of the FBI would lead this militarized government. Mr. Kelly was ready to move in with his computerized data banks. He's even too far right-wing from Congressman Herska, who objects to the local police department being part of the national FBI. That is what Mr. Kelly is trying to do now, is to link all local police departments into the national FBI, which is now controlled by the Pentagon. In 1970, Raymond Pecunier of the Department of Corrections, now this is 1970 when the Houston plan is getting ready in the White House and the Pentagon is getting ready to take over the FBI and the prison systems, of course, getting ready for this mass population that will lead to genocide in 76, Raymond Pecunier of the Department of Corrections in California said this is February the 10th, 1970. If we've got a group out preaching revolution and we think it's dangerous, we lock them up. Now, Mr. Pecunier defines revolution anything he wants it to do. The prison is, if a man is put in jail and he's convicted of a crime, he either committed it or he didn't. You see the documents of the FBI locking up innocent people and forging documents to get them into jail, and this is certainly part of the way of taking over the minorities in this country. And you read the FBI orders, and these are not even revolutionaries. The way the orders read down, you were to neutralize all leaders and groups attracting young members or vestige of sympathetic people. If you have sympathy or you're working with the black groups and young members, even if you have respectability, that's revolution. You look at the FBI memo, that's revolution. Raymond Pecunio says if we've got a group preaching revolution and it's dangerous, we lock them up. That's not his business to lock them up. The judge has decided if a man robbed or stole or whatever he did, and he should get out when his time is up. And because he sees that he's the victim of racism, once he's in prison, there is no way out and there will be no way out unless the people of California rise up now and get in touch with that finance committee and stop the building of these two prisons. In 1970, the prison system anticipated the future rising up of the minorities and the masses and the anti-war people as the war intended to escalate and the minorities began to be locked up into the prison system. So at that time, Director Raymond Pecunier asked for $48,000 to begin psychosurgery at Vacaville Prison in California, electrode implants, behavior modification, and brain mutilation. He asked for a fund of $48,000 for what he called operations on the minds of antisocial prisoners. Not criminals, but antisocial tendencies that these men had in prison. And they were getting ready with this operation. The people in the Bay Area and San Francisco got outraged that the electrode implants and the behavior modification, they weren't ready for Clockwork Orange. So that allocation was halted at $48,000. It was halted. Then James Parks, the associate warden at San Quentin in 1971, a little while later in August 71, said in quotes, "We have to face it. We have got another 2 or 3 years of very severe turmoil ahead of us in our prisons." He says that militancy breeding among the men is outside on the streets, is working in our prisons. Now, Mr. Park and Pecunier and Mr. Evel Young, are the Attorney General of our state, and the FBI and the Army Intelligence knew what 2 or 3 more years were, because in 71, if we didn't have Watergate and the election was over, we'd be in a total police state. Then the prisons would have no problem. They could begin exterminating and railroading off to the airports they're building like they did in Nazi Germany, where they used trains, and now they have the supersonics ready. In 1972, Ronald Reagan was getting ready for those new prisons to solve the prison problem, and he asked for some new prisons, and that was put off. So the electrode implants at Vacaville were stalled, that funding was stalled, and Ronald Reagan's new prison was stalled in 72. Well, that didn't stop this military establishment because they still have to provide for the minority that are beginning to realize that they need a fair chance in our society or a break in the economy and they're tired being fodder in the war. So that as the awareness grew in this country with underground press and FM radios, there had to be a new solution. So Ronald Reagan came out in 1973 with a State of the State message. He is going to have a university at UCLA, a special section, an institute to study the causes of violence. And he predicted another prediction like Warden Park, that violence would be cured by 1975. Now, they had to put off their program a few times, but by 75, violence would be cured. And he cited the example of Mark Essex, who killed the massacre that took place in New Orleans a few days earlier in December 31 and 72 and January 7, 73. Mark Essex, a New Orleans man in the Navy, killed 11 people, 7 people, and 11 were wounded. But this was a provocateur scare tactic. There were more than one involved. There was that telltale writing on the wall like the phony diary of Sirhan and James Ray and Bremer. And Mark Essex was quoted as an excuse of violence. And Ronald Reagan thought hopefully this time he would launch that school. He'd been turned down for the prisons in 72. The electrodes had been turned down. earlier at Vacaville. So by moving the experimentations to the university, it would have the same respectability that Hitler used in Nazi Germany and take the plans out of the prison into the university with the professors like the Gestapo in Nazi Germany. At that time, in January 22, 1973, Dr. Jolly West, the same doctor who saw Jack Ruby in Dallas, Texas, working for the CIA, he's to head the School of Violence, to study violence that would be cured by 75, wrote a letter up to Sacramento asking for them to get a hold of the government property. I'll read in quotes the letter sent by Dr. Jolly West up to Mr. Stubblebine in Sacramento. This is all in quotes. I have confidential information. The Army is prepared to turn over the Nike missile base located in Santa Monica Mountains. It's accessible but relatively remote. It's securely fenced. The Neuropsychiatric Institute could use it as a research facility. We'll put it to very good use. We could make comparative studies carried out there, isolated but convenient location, of experimental or model programs for the alteration of undesirable behavior. And we could include chronic antisocial or impulsive aggressiveness, and it could be used by the law enforcement and parole officers, signed Jolly West. Well, a lot of people went up to Sacramento. I went up to the mental health department. There were hearings that time. A group of people went up, more than they ever expected, and once again the funding was cut off for this experimental school, and the federal government that was to foot most of the bill, California, would put up about $2 million for the school to cure violence by 1975, and the bulk for this major experiment at the Nike bases and electrode implants and mutilation of minorities and prisoners would come from the federal money. The Watergate was coming into full bloom then, and people's awareness was growing, and so the federal government cut off for 2 years all federal money for brain mutilation and experimentation. So in order to get the prison back going, Ronald Reagan this week, that is the reason why he's pushing for the prison now from California money, because the federal money has backed off. But in order to keep this police state rolling and get that genocide going, they need that these two big prisons on the isolated acreage that they have set aside for the project. Now, in chronological order, in March 27, 1973, Richard Nixon developed the crime bill, S-1400, which he presented 3 days after James McCord gave his note to the judge, Judge Sirica, on the Watergate affair. And the crime bill that he wanted to put into order, which would protect all of the men that have been indicted at the White House and anyone following that, particularly those running the prisons and brain experimentations or mutilations, it's a crime bill that says the defendant, it is a defense for the against the prosecution under any federal statute that the defendant reasonably believed that the conduct charged was required or authorized by law to carry out his duty as a public servant or as a person acting at the direction of a public servant. If he reasonably believed he was acting legally, his crime is excused. And two sections allowed public officials to excuse their crimes by citing that, number one, it was their public duty, or two, it was orders from superiors. Therefore, genocide would use no punishment like the Nuremberg Law if you, if this crime bill were to pass. It was presented 3 days after James McCord began to talk at the Watergate. Now, out in California and in Texas and the Southwest, where all this genocide is coming from and being as a test case, it's being planned as a test case, we have a lot of indications to be very fearful of this new prison and to halt it if we can, and halt the money of this prison and ask for a more reasonable exposure. These big prisons don't work. There are things in my filing cabinet that lead me to believe that it is for genocide, and I'm going to share them with you. There are things I've talked about individually on the program, and to me they all add up to genocide. One was down in San Diego, which is right next to where this new prison would be located, right adjacent to it. The 12.5 million acres of land have been closed off. Bureau of Land Management, this November 73, arbitrarily closed off 12.5 million acres of California desert to any off-road vehicles. Now, Lieutenant Governor Reinecke, who was hardly a flaming liberal, had two quotations in the news. He said they arbitrarily closed it. And he also said, in quotes, the cold, harsh hand of federal bureaucracy was responsible. Now, I've talked to somebody who's knowledgeable on this case, and he told me that it was because the dune buggies ride all over the desert, and the excuse of blocking off this area, which is approximately 100 miles by 200 square miles, is that the animals are being killed right and left and the land's being abused. If this is the case, all you have to do is make it a law, no dune buggies, no riding on. You can have police or motorcycles or helicopters survey it. If you say that no dune buggies or vehicles on this land, that's one thing. But if they're military vehicles, if they back up from San Diego to San Bernardino and behind Indio and Palm Springs, where Charles Manson talked as the location of the future race war, that the blacks would be exterminated, and he was racing and making up these dune buggies and associated this geographic area with a race war and extermination, and Manson was a Nazi working with the syndicate, organized crime, and the military intelligence, and was knowledgeable, I would be very suspicious, not alone what Manson says, but from what I'm learning, that those 12.5 million acres backing up to San Diego area, where the new prison all of a sudden is allocated and a giant airport is coming, is something to watch. Now, in the Southwest, we've talked about this before, there is the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. There's a lot of oil people in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and a lot of people involved in political assassinations and conspiracies and a desire for a martial law in this country. And there also is a lot of knowledge in the gasoline field, whether we have an energy crisis or not. They should know. So why would they build a $500 million airport down at Dallas-Fort Worth? It's 17 miles from downtown. You see, the prisons and the hospitals that are all being built now are not practical with energy crisis and gasoline shortages. Nobody can get to these places. They're not accessible. The Dallas-Fort Worth airport is $500 million, 17 miles from downtown, 16,900 acres on a 26-acre square. There's 26 square miles. I've seen an overlay of, comparing to Manhattan Island. It's tremendous. They said when they were building it could be the last major airport built in this country. 66 gates, and I just wonder how much population expansion they're going to get in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Or if this airport, they have purposely made it 17 inches thick of concrete to provide for 747s to land. Now, in an energy crisis, again, so much gasoline to get out there and back, 66 gates. They're cutting down airline traffic. How many 747s are there, and why would they use them? Because I've watched very closely the development of the 747s and felt that they could remove mass populations, and I've also felt that the clearing of the Amazon in Brazil would be a stopping place to remove minorities from this country and then exterminate them with no way to come back and nobody knowing what's going on in this country. So they have purposely put the 17-inch concrete base for 747s to land in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So when you read that this new prison, this $84 million prison, would be in San Diego, and we'll go into that, right next to an airport identical or equal to the Dallas-Fort Worth, where is a population movement in San Diego that justifies this, and is it to connect to the Dallas-Fort Worth airport? Are these going to be the two airports that will provide the transportation for population movement through the 747s? Now, January of 1974, after that new airport opened, I spoke on this program up north in the Bay Area about the Travis Air Force Base Hospital. There's a $105 million Travis Air Force Base Hospital. I'm suspicious of that in terms of genocide for four or five reasons. In the first place, they announced that it's going to be an experiment into the 21st century, a model experiment. It's the most expensive hospital built in the USA. If the war of Asia is scaling down, the United States is not at war, why do we need a military hospital? We have a huge hospital just finished at Fort Ord here in California. What do they need, the most expensive hospital in America or in the world, up at Travis Air Force Base if we're are not going to be having warfare, where men are involved in warfare? What is that about? The second thing that makes me suspicious is the emphasis on a one-step medical room. They've said that all a person needs, his treatment, you go in that hospital, every need that you have, like x-ray, treatment, laboratory work and drug work and prescriptions, will be in one room without, I'm reading a quotation, without leaving the examining room. And I can't think of any hospital that did that except Dachau and Auschwitz, where these Jews and others just took off their clothes, and in one room, all their needs were taken care of. And that was experimental. And this hospital, this multi-million dollar network hospital, is run electronically, computerized system, and I think that you could also electronically and with computers handle mass transportation. A Lieutenant Colonel Hood has said with regard to the hospital, in quotes, since the new hospital is a prototype or test bed project, some of the concepts included will be controversial and not universally accepted at this time. Now, I don't repeat on these shows. I've been on the air 3 years since this next May, and I try not to repeat very much information, but there's certain quotations of Dr. Delgado's or Colonel Hood's that I will repeat from time to time, because that is what is happening in America. And if I see that the governor of this state wants to put in two $85 million prisons for behavior modification, they've already come out in the open and said to take care of 2,400 mentally disturbed. If they take those 2,400 down in San Diego and only the prison is deciding they're mentally disturbed, and they implant electrodes in their brains, and I have a copy of an article, I have the original too, that in Watts, they were going to let prisoners out and electronically control them so they could walk certain geographic areas, put electrodes in them, and then let them out. Another 2,400 would go insane just at the prospect of it and become violent because thrashing like a child with a temper tantrum, so they'd move those 2,400 in, and then the next 2,400 would see that 4,800 never came out, and you could keep this process going. So when you see that they want to use the Nike base for the missile base, and the doctors from NASA are doing the experiments, military doctors, and you see that Colonel Hood is telling you it's not universally accepted at this time, that one-room treatment, I know that if you have enough, if they kill Patricia Hearst, which she says the FBI wants, and if you kill enough prominent people or scare the community about the dangers of ex-convicts committing these crimes, we will say, okay, here's the money, send them to jail, and then it'll be universally acceptable to put them behind bars and never know where they are. The Travis Air Force Base is on a military base, 82 acres, secluded. They advertise secluded, like the Nike base, and certainly San Diego and Vacaville would be secluded. Why all the mysteries and why the seclusion? Now, we're chronologically moving from the announcement of that hospital in January to March the 9th, 1974. I'm moving along here, but there's a pattern in what I'm trying to say about our California prisons. There was an article in the paper March the 9th, last week. Airline 747 in storage. The jet dinosaurs are stored down in New Mexico. They cost $25 million each. They cost several thousands of dollars a day to keep them warmed up. These airplanes are ready to fly within 2 to 3 days. The Continental Airline has 4. American Airlines has 14. The Dallas Airport is ready, can hold the 747s. The new airport that would go in San Diego next to the prison would hold the 747s. Remember the Watergate plans of G. Gordon Liddy and the Attorney General of the United States, that they would take anti-war protesters in airplanes and kidnap them down to Mexico. Well, John Mitchell and Liddy from New York City, who went to the Justice Department, the White House, and then the committee to reelect the president, those two men can't sit and decide among themselves that they're going to kidnap transport planes and take down to Mexico. Just because Liddy and Mitchell are tied up means the same plans exist. Because the military, the Pentagon, had to be ready to act. They have to have the airports, they have to have the planes, they have to have the secrecy and the agents. So the Liddy plan still works, because the San Diego Hospital for Behavior Modification, with its airport next to it, is right on the border of Mexico, and they know what they're doing. So when we read that the jet dinosaurs are warmed up every day, and one airport in Dallas and Fort Worth is ready, why are they kept warmed up? Who's going to use them? They're laying off the other airlines. Who are they going to use them for? And why do we need the prison next to the airport? In February of 74, the Genocide Treaty was turned down in the Senate, in the United States Senate, the International Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide, a bill that they've been trying to pass for 25 years, was turned down, and Mr. Sam Ervin of the Senate Watergate Committee, supposedly the great liberal party, he played the role of Earl Warren in the cover-up, he was one of the men who turned it down, Senator Sam. The genocide in USA is not against the law. What it would have made a crime to wipe out, this is the genocide bill, it would have been a crime to wipe out national, ethnic, racial, or religious groups by killing or causing serious bodily harm, mental or otherwise, to members of these groups. American citizens would have been tried in U.S. courts if they attempted to wipe out national, ethnic, racial, or religious groups by killing them or causing bodily or mentally harm to their members. And the Senate of the United States turned that down so that genocide is allowed, and they intend full well to provide the budget and the doctors and the prisons and the transportation to do anything they want if you allow them to, if you allow these prisons to go through now. You have to stop it each day and stop it right now. Now, use Air West, Howard Hughes, gets large contracts from the government, from NASA. He's one of the Hughes Corporation, gets tremendous contracts. They work with no Nazis. It came over from Nazi Germany. Mr. Von Braun, Werner Von Braun of NASA, and Walter Dornberger from Dallas, Fort Worth, are war criminals that should be deported. They help with genocide in this country, with the political assassinations. Their agents involved in Dallas were involved with these particular agencies of NASA, with Werner Von Braun and Walter Dornberger. These men work with Hughes of Air West. They are racist, and they have helped create a possibility of genocide through their weapons and through their airplanes. And the plans that they have now are for Hughes to take over most of the transportation airlines of the Southwest. Howard Hughes, February 1974, it was in the newspaper, they're trying to break up what they called a grand design to create a new transcontinental airline under Hughes' control. He is making a deal with American Airlines to trade his routes in Salt Lake City to Vegas to L.A. He's going to exchange them for Houston, San Antonio, El Paso, Tucson, Phoenix to the Los Angeles area. So Hughes Air West, a known racist, uses the one who said when Martin Luther King was killed, the blacks had gone as far as they were going to go in 100 years. Hughes Air West is taking over all transportation in the Southwest, and the two large airports for the warm 747 would be San Diego and Dallas-Fort Worth. Now, the prison in San Quentin, February of this year, of 1974, turned down 85.2% of all paroles. Now, 85.2. They started a prison crackdown in early of this year, just before Christmas. And the purpose of the crackdown was to keep as many men in and bulge it. So when parole time came, which came in February of this year, 85.2 were refused. I know men I've been writing to, one like Elmer Davis, I want to do a whole show on him, has a job to work at a law office. Other men could be medical assistants. I know other men who had jobs waiting for them on the outside, who have families, sweethearts, who have paid their penalty. They've been 6, 8, 9 years. I've gotten letter after letter from individuals that I'm going to send up to the Finance Committee to show why there shouldn't be new prisons. And each one of them said, they're holding us in, they lock them up, they're doubling up the men in the jail, they're putting races with blacks, they're mingling, they're importing weapons. The prison system in California right now is bringing in provocateurs and causing the violence that's coming down. Some of the men say it's imported. Lewis Tackwood talks in the Glasshouse Tapes how the prison importation, the violence is imported. The, number one, the provocateurs are being imported. The paroles are being turned down. They're terribly overcrowded. The hope is diminishing of all the men. They're ready to riot. They're turned to frustration, temper tantrums, doubling two in a cell. And as his behavior has been going on since November of this year and doubling it up, they come and the paroles turn down. Ronald Reagan comes out now in March with and wants two prisons because of all the violence and the overcrowded and the antiquated buildings. We have to take care of these tempers, this antisocial behavior. I say that this is manipulated, and the proof of the manipulation is this, and this is what you can do as listeners. You want to know what you can do. When I do all this work and I give it to you, this is one of the things you could do. You could ask for an outside committee, not the California Department of Corrections, not the parole board that turned them down, but similar like a Watergate committee, a group of objective lawyers headed by a team of assemblymen that seem to have cared for the prisoner, like Alan Cerotti or Mr. Bielenson of the Senate, and they should take every parole one by one, if there were 500 men that were to have parole in February, they should select what were the reasons, number one, that the parole was denied. What were the charges against him? Did he have a job? Had he served his time? Did he do a good record? And if he did, they automatically said parole denied. Then he should be out on the streets. We don't need prisons. The prisons are not overcrowded. They're overcrowded because the men should be out. They've served their time. They have done as much as they can do. From now on, they can only go crazy or sick or be filled with despair. And prisoners that are listening to these programs up in the Bay Area or in Soledad can write letters to KLRB and send them to me, and I'll send them to Sacramento. Or better still, you write to Sacramento, to Alan Cerotti or Mr. Bailenson, Senator Bailenson, B-E-I-L-E-N-S-O-N, in care of the Finance Committee in Sacramento, and tell them you want parole. You men that have been writing to me and can hear the program, say, I was eligible and it was turned down. We don't need bigger prisons. Let us out. It's ridiculous to house us in prison. Some men are in prison because they don't have the bus fare to go home, I understand. They stay in prison. I got a letter from a man who can't get out. His parole is up. He's been 8-9 years in prison, and he can't get out if he doesn't have $300. That's the law in Ohio. He's at Lucasville, Ohio. He has no father, no father, no family. The prison would keep him in 4 more years if he doesn't have $300. It would cost them that in 4 months. It doesn't make sense to keep a man in prison for 4 years for the sake of $300. If they just gave him that money, the taxpayers in Ohio would be ahead and he would be ahead. But the whole thing about the prison system is genocidal, to keep the blacks, the Chicanos, the radicals locked up and never let them out. And this has to be stopped. It's a dreary program. I sound scared, but I am scared. And I think that Ronald Reagan's wanting to close San Quentin and build two $78 million prisons each is insanity at a time like this. People like Jessica Medford have written books on the prison. There's studies of prison systems. Our prisons don't work. They work in other countries like Denmark and Sweden. As I said, they don't work in the tiger cages of Vietnam or Greece and these islands of torture. Now, $2 million was allocated by Sacramento to improve San Quentin until they decided what changes to make with prisoners and hopefully to make them better. So what Ronald Reagan wants to do is to take away the $2 million that was promised to improve conditions in San Quentin and use them for architectural contracts of people who put these politicians in office to get ready to build those prisons on the border of Mexico. And if you sit here and say, how did it happen in Germany? Did the people know there was a Dachau? Did they know there was an Auschwitz? Can't you learn from it? There was somebody at my class at the university, a visiting teacher from the faculty, who was saying that people never learn the lessons of history. History is right here now in California. It's everywhere in the United States. But the United States has a test case, and that's the state of California. And don't forget it. The J. Walter Thompson Agency, the aerospace industry, the Bank of America, the agricultural field, the movie industry with its propaganda and its television cameras. California is the face of the nation. I've used that quote from the book, California, the first parafascist state. So if you don't want to be a part of this genocide, if you don't want to be a part of the Liddy plan to exterminate, if you want a better society, if you want opportunities for people to get out and live full lives and not be a party to their murders and their brain mutilations, write your letters to the Senate Finance Committee in Sacramento, California, the Capitol building, and say, stop those big prisons. If we need prisons, we need small prisons where we can visit daily and check on them. And stop this insanity and stop Ronald Reagan's effort to mutilate our minds and our citizens. We don't want to be a party to these crimes in any way. This is your chance to take part. They're having the hearings this week. Continue and go up. If it passes the Senate Finance, it'll go into the House. There's a lot of time to move, and they do listen to you if you move. We don't want Watergate West out here. Halt this madness, and please participate in stopping these master prisons. That's it for this week, and I'll see you next week.
This has been Dialogue Conspiracy with political research specialist Mae Brussel, who for over 10 years has been researching the facts behind the political assassinations in this country so that the truth may be revealed. Dialogue Conspiracy originates with KLRB-FM in Carmel, California.